Heavenly Father, we are in awe of the love and the power that the resurrection contains, and that that is for us. And so we pray now, as we hear that story again, that we would know it is for us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a seat? If we could have the first slide up there, thank you. I don't know if you've ever really planned something carefully and really thought about it and planned what you're going to do, and you've got everything that you need, and then you realise that there was one really important thing you hadn't factored in, one vital element you'd overlooked. Like maybe checking the height of your lorry and the height of the bridge. Or maybe if you're going to clean a chandelier, then you need to make sure there aren't two of them. And I can't help kind of reading Mark's account like that. Mark didn't always paint the disciples in the most flattering light. So maybe it shouldn't surprise us that here we have a number of the women, disciples, heading off early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body with spices. And it seems that it's only as they're on their way that they go, oh, hang on, how are we going to get into the tomb? Who's going to roll the stone away for us? In his gospel, Luke tells us that the women have prepared the spices on the Friday after the crucifixion and then waited until the Sabbath to come to the tomb. So they've been really organised. They just didn't think about the stone, apparently. But of course, we know that they needn't have worried about the stone or who was going to move it, because we know when they got to the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away. The very large stone, Mark makes a point of mentioning. He wants to be very clear that there's no way these women could have moved it, and there's no way one man could have moved it on his own, and certainly not one in the state that Jesus was in after the crucifixion. It would have taken several burly blokes to shift it, but there it is. The stone is rolled away. It's interesting to ask ourselves, perhaps, why? Why is the stone rolled away? And maybe that seems like a sort of bizarre sort of question to ask, because the obvious answer is because Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And the same mighty power that conquered death and raised him to life has rolled the stone away, releasing Jesus from the tomb. Well, yes. But later on, a locked door is no barrier to Jesus' resurrected body, as he's able to enter the room where his frightened disciples are hiding out. He was able to do that not because he was some sort of ghostly, substanceless sort of apparition, but because now his resurrected body is more real, more solid than the door. So the stone didn't need to be rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let the women in. The tradition of anointing the bodies of the dead with spices, wrapping the spices within the folds of the burial clothes, was to combat the smell of decay. In a country as hot as Israel, you can only imagine the smell after a few days. And in John's Gospel, we hear that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had buried Jesus' body, and they'd already used, he says, 75 pounds, that's over 5 stone, of spices. That's not something you carry in a bag. That lot is coming on a donkey, at least, or in a cart. So somehow, I don't think now Joseph and Nicodemus are secret disciples anymore. That's a pretty public display of the reverence, the honour they want to show Jesus. And now the women come and they want to do the same. They want their chance to honour and to show their love for Jesus. So the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let the women in. But it wasn't rolled away to let them in to anoint Jesus' body, because it was already gone. There's no need to cover up the smell of death, because the tomb is filled with the fragrance of new life. The story, the stone was rolled away in order to let them in, so that they could see for themselves that Jesus wasn't there, so that they could believe that there's a power stronger than death itself, the power of the resurrecting God. In case they don't believe their eyes, the angels that are sitting there spells it out. He has risen. He is not here. Now, there's no two ways about it. This is not a Schrodinger's cat scenario, if you know what that means. In trying to explain a complicated problem, the physicist Erwin Schrodinger proposed a kind of a thought experiment where there's a cat in a sealed box with some poison. If you don't open the box, you don't know if the cat is alive or dead. So as long as you don't open the box, the cat could be thought of as both alive and dead at the same time. I came across this, and this shows my sense of humour, I suppose. I thought this was quite funny. Here you have the forgotten disciple, Saint Schrodinger, apparently, suggesting that if the tomb is still sealed, then Jesus is both alive and dead, just like the cat. But of course, even though I think that's quite funny, the stone is rolled away. That is the whole point. There is no doubt. It's not a case of, oh, Jesus could still be in there dead. Jesus is not there. He is most definitely not dead. He has risen. As I say, Mark doesn't always paint the most flattering picture of the disciples. And right at the end of his gospel, he doesn't cut them much slack there either. The shorter, most often thought to be the original ending of his gospel, ends really abruptly with the women being so terrified and bewildered, they run away and they don't say anything to anyone. But just like we already know that the stone is rolled away, we already know that actually that wasn't the end of the women's story. It wasn't a case that they went back to the disciples and went, we went to the tomb, you know, and, well, silly us, we forgot about having to move the stone away, didn't we? So that was that. Instead, we know that they and the other disciples did find the courage, with the Holy Spirit's help, to tell lots and lots and lots of people about the risen, resurrected Jesus, the Jesus who has conquered death, the Jesus who is alive, because we wouldn't be sitting here today otherwise, would we? But we might sometimes perhaps need to ask ourselves, is there some way in which the stone still needs to be rolled away? Maybe there are times where we still try and keep Jesus contained, limited, somewhere we can control and guard him, somewhere where we can go and pay honour to him on our terms. But he cannot be contained. We can't constrain him to our little boxes. The stone needs to be rolled away. Are there ways in which today perhaps we need to be those who help to roll the stone away for others so that they can come and find out for themselves that Jesus is not dead? He has risen, he is alive, and he's out and about in the world and in their lives. so that they can see for themselves that there is resurrection and death is defeated and life will never be the same again. Of course, strictly speaking, Jesus doesn't need our help in rolling the stone away. He didn't then, and he doesn't now. Maybe what we are called to do is not be those who keep that life-changing news to ourselves, but rather invite people to come and see for themselves that the stone is rolled away. And they can breathe in that fragrance of new life for themselves. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.